Hi, everybody. Welcome to Enlightened Leadership. And today we're going to look at the Tao Te Ching, Chapter 9. It's possible you'll hear some background noise. I don't know. We have some men upstairs replacing some windows. So I don't know if my mic picks up noise that far away, but if you hear drilling or hammering or anything like that, that's what's going on. We're in the basement, so you might not hear it, but just to let you know. I'm going to start by playing a song. This is a song that if you listen with one part of your mind, you might say, what the heck does this have to do with the Tao Te Ching? And if you listen with another part of your mind, you might say, oh yeah, I see, that's perfect with the Tao Te Ching. So let's see how it sounds to you. The singer, the artist, is Marilyn Monroe. And so let's have a peek.
After you get what you want, you don't want it. If I gave you the moon, you'd grow tired of it soon. You're like a baby. You want what you want when you want it. But after you are presented with what you want, you're discontented. You're always wishing and wanting for something. When you get what you want, you don't want what you get. And though I sit upon your knee, you grow tired of me. 'Cause after you get what you want, you don't want what you wanted at all. Changeable, you've got a changeable nature. Always, always changing your mind. There's a longing in your eye, hard to satisfy. And here's a reason why. 'Cause after you get what you want, you don't want it. If I gave you the moon, you'd grow tired of it soon. You're like a baby. You want what you want when you want it. But after you are presented with what you want, you're discontented. You're always wishing and wanting for something. When you get what you want, you don't want what you get. And though I sit upon your knee, you'll grow tired of me. 'Cause after you get what you want, you don't want what you wanted. You get what you want, you don't want what you wanted at all. I know you.
So, could you hear what that had to do with the Tao Te Ching? It's a great song, huh? And you'll remember one of our lessons earlier was want nothing, right? Because that wanting never, never ends, right? You know, we want something, we get it, then it's not enough, we just want something else. And we're staying totally focused outward, totally focused on the ego personality and who we think we are. So, yeah, one of our lessons was want nothing. So that's what that song, of course, makes me think of. And it's a cute song. I love Marilyn Monroe. I don't know about you guys, but I just think she's adorable. So today we're going to start with verse or chapter 9 in the Tao Te Ching. And as usual, I will begin with the Derek Lynn version. So here we go. Holding a cup and overfilling it cannot be as good as stopping short. Pounding a blade and sharpening it cannot be kept for long. Gold and jade fill up the room. No one is able to protect them. Wealth and position bring arrogance and leave disasters upon oneself. When achievement is completed, fame is attained. Withdraw oneself. This is the Tao of heaven. Kind of reminds me of a couple of quotes, one of which I know is Nisargadatta, the other one I'm not so sure if it's Nisargadatta or not. But, and of course I'm going to be paraphrasing the quotes, but Nisargadatta recommends that whatever you're doing now, whatever you're involved in now, whatever projects you have going on now, go ahead and finish them. But then don't start anything new unless it has to be done. Because one of the greatest defenses against God is busyness, right? So yeah, that's a Nisargadatta quote. And then there was another quote that I think maybe wasn't Nisargadatta, but I can't remember who it was. But it was something to the degree of you will be able to attain awakening to the degree that you can walk away from other things. Right, so they're both very, very similar. You'll be able to attain awakening to the degree that you can walk away from other things. That was the gist of the other quote, although I don't remember where I saw that. So I just noticed, I just put this book down. I just noticed Rabbi David Cooper is one of the people on the back that's, you know, writes a little thing about, I don't know if you guys know Rabbi David Cooper, but he's a Kabbalist, a pretty clear Kabbalist. And in fact, we use him he's one of the authors that we use in our MPP Kabbalah class, but he's one of the people that recommended this particular translation. So let me read Derek Lynn again, and then we'll go look at Wayne Dyer next. Holding a cup and overfilling it cannot be as good as stopping short. Pounding a blade and sharpening it cannot be kept for long. Gold and jade fill up the room. No one is able to protect them. Wealth and position bring arrogance and leave disasters upon oneself. When achievement is completed, fame is attained. Withdraw oneself. This is the Tao of heaven, right? And especially this holding a cup and overfilling it cannot be as good as stopping short. You know, it really makes me think about overfilling our lives, right? Just overfilling our lives. There's just no room at all for meditation, no room at all for contemplation. So holding a cup and overfilling it cannot be as good as stopping short. You know, I recently had to get some new cups because I had, you know, I had cups because I drink coffee. I had cups, but I've started spending more time here at my mom's condo, and she has a Keurig that makes bigger cups of coffee than my Keurig at home. And so when I took a few mugs to the condo, and I put the mug under the Keurig, it fills it all the way to the brim. And I like to add cream and sugar. Plus, I like to walk across the room to where I'm going. And I can't do that with it filled to the brim. I have to pour some out into the sink, or I have to sip on it while it's black, make enough space for cream, sugar, and space to walk across the room. You know, when it's filled to the brim, it's actually not as useful to me as if it has some space in it, right? So what I did was I had to go buy some new cups. I went and bought, actually the first cup was a gift. The morning I said, I wish I had some bigger cups. Somebody showed up here and gave me a big cup. And then I bought another big cup, and then I brought a couple from my house that were bigger. And then I donated the ones I had here. Then somebody showed up asking for coffee cups and I gave them to her. So it all worked out. But we want to look at our lives too. Are we filling our life all the way to the brim so that it's actually not a useful life? Right? Because there's no space in it for the things that are really important, the meditation and the contemplation. So definitely, I agree with this, that holding a cup and overfilling it cannot be as good as stopping short. I need room for cream and sugar in my coffee, and I need room for meditation and contemplation in my life, right? Okay, let's look at Wayne Dyer. Let's see how he translated chapter 9. We don't allow people to wear hard-soled shoes in the house, not even hard-soled slippers. Everybody has to have half soft-soled, you know, kind of like I have these, most of us, I think, have these socks with these things on the bottom so you don't slip, the non-slip socks that we wear in here. But with these guys up here with their boots on, you can definitely see we made the right decision, didn't we, Cheryl? Because upstairs, all hardwood floor, and they're walking across, and down here, all you hear is pound, 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 pound. But that's why we don't allow the shoes inside. It makes it noisy. All right, let's look at Dr. Wayne Dyer. To keep on filling is not as good as stopping. Overfilled, the cup hands drip. Better to stop pouring. Sharpen a blade too much, and its edge will soon be lost. Fill your house with jade and gold, and it brings in security. Puff yourself with honor and pride, and no one can save you from a fall. Retire when the work is done. This is the way of heaven. So that's Dr. Wayne Dyer. I think he's doctor, right? Yeah, he's Dr. Wayne Dyer. All right, and now I want to look at Stephen Mitchell. Fill your bowl to the brim, and it will spill. Keep sharpening your knife, and it will blunt. Chase after money and security, and your heart will never unclench. Care about people's approval, and you will be their prisoner. Do your work, then step back. The only path to serenity. So it's interesting, again, after having read Derek Lynn and Wayne Dyer, although I love this line, it's kind of like Stephen Mitchell just stuck a little something extra in here about people's approval. You know, I think it's good. I think it's very good. But you just don't see that in the other two. So it's kind of funny. He seems to do that every now and then. He takes a little more artistic ability, you know. He feels a little freer to add stuff, it looks like. So let's go back to Derek Lynn now that we've looked at each of them. Creative license, right? And that's what he takes, creative license. I remember you, yeah. All right, so holding a cup and overfilling it cannot be as good as stopping short. I think we're all pretty clear on that one already. So let's look at this next one. Pounding a blade and sharpening it cannot be kept for long. So what that says to me, and this is something that the world would really argue with. If I'm talking about the skills of the world, like let's just imagine for a moment that Regina wants to be the best president minister of a church, the best leader of a church in the whole wide world. That's her goal. She wants everybody to say, wow, nobody ever led a church like Regina did. And so what Regina does with all of her spare time is she studies leadership manuals. She takes executive level courses. She goes to different colleges studying different spiritual and religious courses. She spends all of her time sharpening her blade so that she can be the best president minister ever, right? Or the best leader of a church ever. pounding a blade and sharpening it cannot be kept for long. You know, maybe I even achieve that. Maybe, you know, I take so many courses and I learn so much about how to be a great spiritual leader, a great leader of an organization, and I really dedicate myself to it and I practice it. And maybe I am a great leader. Just like if you sharpen a knife, it is a sharp knife. But this body's going to get old and die. What the Tao Te Ching is saying is that's really a waste of a life. What has happened is you have focused on the eternal. Focused on the temporary and ignored the eternal. And what the Tao Te Ching is saying is it's much, much better to focus on the eternal, right? So, I don't know if there's anything else to say about that. It's just a matter of priorities. What's your life about? I could become really great at anything I probably wanted to become really great at. But if it's not focusing on the eternal, in the end, you know, just like a blade, you sharpen a knife and eventually it has to be sharpened again. And eventually it has to be sharpened again. And eventually you have to buy a new knife. That's the point. That knife is not going to last forever. And this body personality is not going to last forever. So spending my time trying to perfect it is just really a waste of time in the end. Yeah, only focusing on the eternal is worth it. And I want to tell you guys something. I went to a self-inquiry retreat recently. It happened to be offered by Regina Don Akers. But, whenever she offers a retreat or teaches a class in the sanctuary, I'm there as the student too. Every time. And so speaking as the student that went to the self-inquiry retreat, that self-inquiry retreat really boosted my motivation to focus on the eternal. Prior to the self-inquiry retreat, I was meditating usually 30 to 45 minutes. Now I'm at an hour and a half. Oh, look outside. A second it was blue sky, now it's snowing. That's Colorado for you. Like I look out there, there's blue sky and sun. I look away, I look back, and there's snow. Yeah. Now, this week I'm meditating an hour and a half, and I'm absolutely certain that's not enough time. That next week I want to increase my schedule. In fact, I am absolutely certain I want to get up to 3 hours a day. That didn't happen to me before the self-inquiry retreat. That's a shift that occurred in me in the self-inquiry retreat. Why did this shift occur? Because in the self-inquiry retreat, we really focused on the importance of focusing on the eternal. We focused on it in different ways from different angles. But after 5 days of not being distracted by other things, like the list of to-do things that I have to do this afternoon. I've got a list of to-do. I'm not sure how I'm going to get it all done. Probably not. I'm going to have to prioritize, right? But for a whole week, I didn't have a to-do list. For a whole week, I was just focusing on the self-inquiry retreat. For a whole week, without interruption, I was able to contemplate the importance of focusing on the eternal. And that created a shift in me, and that something in me got it. Something in me got it, that is by far the most important thing I have to do, more important than anything else on my to-do list. And in fact, I got it so well that just about, 20 minutes ago, one of my projects, I said, you know what, Cheryl, I'm going to let you do this. I'm taking that off my plate, which is exactly what the Tao Te Ching is recommending, right? That if I fill my life too full, I don't have time for meditation and contemplation, right? And you know what would cause me to fill my life too full? Is wanting to be the best. That's a trap.
That's never going to happen.
Yeah. That wanting to be the best is going to keep me chasing after being the best. And my life is going to be filled too full. And I'm not going to have time for focusing on the eternal. So pardon me, you guys, if I decide not to be the best. I am absolutely making a decision that I am not going to be the best president minister you've ever seen. And you're just going to have to live with it. You know, I'm going to get done what I get done. And what doesn't get done isn't going to get done. It's, I guarantee you, it's the lower priority stuff. But I am going to spend time every day in contemplation, meditation, which I already do. Don't get me wrong. I already do. What's really happening here is it's a shift. I used to, because I wrote those tips every day, which now you know I'm not going to do anymore. I used to spend easily 2.5 hours probably on a normal day writing those tips. And that's why I only had half an hour, 45 minutes, maybe sometimes an hour for meditation, because then life did kick in, right? I don't have to write tips anymore. I am going to do my own contemplation just for me, which will be much briefer. It will open my heart, and then I'm going into meditation, and I am going to get to at least 3 hours a day very soon. The other thing I'm going to do nearly every day is take a walk. When I had Jamie, my dog, for 13 and a half years, and I took a walk nearly every day of my life, usually for an hour, because Jamie just wouldn't have it any other way, right? If I was sitting here and we hadn't taken a walk yet and she started getting worried, you can even hear this on some of the audio, she would come over and like push my, with her nose, push my hand off the computer. Or she would sit there and cry, or just sit there and stare at me. Those of you who have dogs, you know how your dog can stare at you. It's a very loud quiet. It may be quiet, but it's very loud. She didn't let me get away with not walking every day. And she kept this body healthy, which is important. And since she passed away, up until, what, about a week ago, up until the self-inquiry retreat, because that's, we also walked at the self-inquiry retreat every day, up until the self-inquiry retreat, my walking went to the background because of the busyness. Too busy to walk, and Jamie's not staring at me anymore. So I have decided I'm going to walk Jamie every day, even if she's dead. The fact that she's dead does not mean she doesn't want to go for a walk, right? Because I think these things are important. When we went from Gentle Healing 1 to Gentle Healing 2, and Anne's group is probably just about at this space now, we watched a video called Big Rocks. In fact, let me just see if I can find that video now, so now that I can share a screen. Maybe we will just watch it again. Let's see.
Is it the one where you fill a container?
Yeah. Yeah, let's just watch that again. See if I can find it. Big Rocks. Okay, let me try going to the Awakening Together website, because what came up this time is not it. It's all this other stuff. Guys showing their muscles. But I think it might be on the Awakening Together website. Gentle Healing Playlist. Should be near the bottom. Here it is. Oh, it's called Jar of Life. That's the name of it, in case anybody wants to look it up later. So let me share my screen. And let's go ahead and watch this. Oops, I thought I pushed play. I didn't. Let's try that again. Says your life, keeping the important things important. I'm saying that for the audio. We all get 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, 52 weeks in a year, and who knows how many years we have left. How you choose to spend your time will determine if your life will be fulfilling, satisfying, happy. What will you choose? This jar represents your life and the time you have to fill. The sand, all the little things that really don't matter. The pebbles, things that matter a little. The rocks, they are the important things. He's putting the sand in the jar first, the things that don't matter. when you choose to fill your time with the little things first, the things that don't matter, things like video games, menial tasks, being mad at people for silly things, then you leave little time for more meaningful things. He's filled about a quarter, maybe a third of the jar with the sand. It looks like there's still plenty of space in the jar. Probably a third of the jar, maybe. Now he's reaching for the pebbles. Filling time with things that matter, but that aren't necessarily important. He's putting all of the little rocks in the jar. Things like your job, casual hobbies, spending time with people you don't really like. Now we're getting to almost two-thirds full with these little rocks on top of the sand. This leaves you with very little time for the important things. Of course, it still looks like there's a third of an empty jar. Now he's reaching for the big rocks. These are the things that money can't buy. He's putting some big rocks in. These are your family, your friends, your health, your goals, which would include meditation and contemplation, doing what you love. And what we're noticing is he cannot get all of the big rocks in the jar. Maybe he got a third of the big rocks in the jar. The other two-thirds are not able to fit. He says, and the important things in your life are left out. If you fill your time with the things that don't matter, then you'll be left with, he says, no time. I would say not enough time for the important things. So give times to the important things first, and you'll be amazed at what you can accomplish. You have the same amount of time, and we have the same empty jar. You have the same little things, the things that don't matter, and the important things. Now he's put the big rocks in the jar first. When you give time to the important things first, you have time for all of your important things. See if you really can get all these big rocks in there. Last time you only got about one third of the big rocks in the jar, and then there was no space left. He's getting close. Can he do it? Got every single one of those big rocks in the jar. But do we have time for the fun stuff? Well, he's going for the little things matter, the things that, you know, matter somewhat, but they're not as important as the important things, the small rocks, the chat. He says you can add those in next. Can he get them all in? Need to rearrange a few things, and he's shaking the jar, and some of these little rocks are settling down at the bottom. He's still putting little rocks in the jar. Shaking the jar again, rearranging a few. He has got all of the little rocks in the jar. In the end, it all fits. But what about the sand? What about hanging out on Facebook? What about watching TV? Well, if you really want it, you can fill the time you have left with those little things that don't really matter. Again, you may need to maneuver some things around. amazed at what you can fit into your schedule. Life. If anybody hearing the audio wants to watch the video. And if it doesn't all fit, who cares? In this case, of course, it did. That stuff didn't really matter anyway, whatever didn't fit. So I think that fits very well with what today's Tao Te Ching is saying, right? We need to know what's important. Wow, there's quite a bit of snow gathering outside. Glad I took my walk earlier today. So what I have decided is important, my big rocks are meditation is my biggest rock. Contemplation and walking, I don't know if I could decide between the two. They're about at the same level. Maybe, yeah. Well, I think I've been contemplating for years, and I feel like if I miss days of if I had to contemplate and walk every other day, I think I would be satisfied with that. But I want to meditate every day. And I want to get to 3 hours a day. So if there wasn't time to meditate, contemplate, and walk at where I'm at right now, I would be okay if I went to contemplate one day, walk the next, contemplate one day, walk the next, because I've been contemplating for years, right? But I feel like the meditation is really where, I feel like that is my personal big rock now. Yeah. So let's go back to the Tao Te Ching. Holding a cup and overfilling it cannot be as good as stopping short. Again, this is making sure you leave space for the big rocks. So what we just saw, if you put the big rocks in first, then you don't really have to worry about the overfilling your cup part, right? Pounding a blade and sharpening it cannot be kept for long. That means, you know, don't be fooled by that temptation to be, you know, the best, the most skilled, the most talented, the most attractive. Whatever. The longest meditator. I'm not meditating because I want to be the longest meditator, right? That's not my reason. Next, it says, gold and jade fill up the room. No one is able to protect them. And I remember Wayne Dyer said, fill your house with jade and gold and it brings in security. So what they really mean, of course, and I think this is probably obvious to all of y'all, what they really mean is if you put your value on material things, well, it kind of reminds me of the scripture, right, where Jesus said something about don't treasure the things where thieves can break in and moths can eat, something like that. Do you remember? You know, put your treasure in heaven. Material things, they just, you know, even if they never get stolen, I don't have any thought that somebody's going to break into my house and steal my stuff. I mean, maybe they will, but I don't have any sense of insecurity about that, nor do I think I ever have. I don't think that's spiritual development. It's just not a part of this personality to worry about whether somebody's going to break in my house and steal my stuff. But the stuff, what I've noticed about the stuff is it becomes invisible. You know, like I buy something that I really like, I find a place for it in my house, and for a few days I really look at that thing and I really like it, and then pretty soon I don't even notice it anymore, except when I have to move it to dust it, you know? Like, they don't actually hold their value, right? That, not for me. I mean, you know, they don't hold their value. They just become a part of the scenery. So it's a waste of time to spend my time trying to earn enough money to get a bigger house and to get more stuff. Because it's just more and more stuff that becomes invisible and has to be taken care of. More than, for me, more than the worry that it might be stolen, is the fact that it has to be taken care of. Houses have to be maintained. Cars have to be maintained. Stuff has to be dusted. You know, like, the more stuff you have, the more work you create for yourself. Now, my mom and I both have pretty decent size houses. Her house is 1,000 square feet bigger than mine. My house is about 2,800 square feet, and her house, I think, is 3,800 square feet. So they're decent size houses. Some of y'all may have houses the same size. It's pretty normal in America nowadays to have houses around that size. And both my mom's house and my house are filled with stuff, because when you get a big house, you fill it with stuff. That's what you do. Well, my mom and I also recently got this teeny tiny little condo. It's so tiny we can't even both be in the kitchen at the same time. It's like a camper without wheels. Mom, one day we were sitting at the table and Mom was eating, and I got up and I said, well, you know, Mom, I would put my dishes in the dishwasher, except I can't open it while you're sitting there. So I'm just going to have to leave them in the sink for you. You know, it's a tiny little place. And of course, we have very little there because a tiny place doesn't hold much. And you know what my mom and I were discussing yesterday? She asked me, she goes, how do you feel when you go home? Because I go home every weekend. She won't be going home till the end of February. And I said, what do you mean? And she goes, well, when you get home, do you feel like your house is too big and you have too much stuff? I said, yeah, that's exactly how I feel. I feel like it's too big and I have too much stuff and I can't wait to get back here where it's so simple, you know? So for me, there isn't this worry that somebody's going to steal my stuff, but I have always been aware that stuff becomes a burden. You buy it and then you have to take care of it. You know, stuff becomes a burden. So it's just a waste of time to spend your life trying to get more and more money so you can have more and more stuff, because all you're doing is giving yourself more and more work to do, right? It doesn't really make sense if you look at it practically, especially if your goal is awakening. Can you guys hear the guys upstairs, by the way? I'm just curious. Yeah, because they're very loud. So now when you come here and we tell you that we don't allow shoes in the house, you understand why. Because mostly what you're hearing them is walking. You know, that's what's going on up there. They're walking. So gold and jade fill up the room. No one is able to protect them. Wealth and possession bring arrogance and leave disasters upon oneself. And I remember, again, Wayne Dyer said this a little differently. Let's look at how he said it. Puff yourself with honor and pride, and no one can save you from a fall. One of the things that I teach the team members who work with me, and they can all tell you that I teach them this regularly, is that everybody makes mistakes. Right, Don? Right, Cheryl? Yep. And I teach that fairly regularly. I mean, I probably say it, you know, at least once every other week. And the reason is because we're always making mistakes around here. But the reason I have to keep saying it is because typically if Dawn or Cheryl or Jacqueline makes a mistake, Jacqueline's actually improving, though. I want to give her that credit. She's learning to take her mistakes a little more in stride. But typically, they feel pretty crappy. Feel pretty crappy because they made a mistake. I make mistakes too, you know, but it's really good. Now going back to what the Tao Te Ching is saying, it's really good that I don't ring them for their mistakes, and, you know, and that I just kind of smile and say, look, everybody makes mistakes. Because if I was ringing them for their mistakes and acting like I don't do this kind of thing, right? I'm perfect. I don't make mistakes. Oof. I'd be in for a fall, because everybody makes mistakes. You know, it's much better that we're, there's two words coming to mind, humble and honest. Because I think in this case, they're the same thing. Right? Humble and honest. Everybody makes mistakes. Doesn't mean we're not trying to do our best. But everybody makes mistakes. That's just the way it is. And I remember hearing Adi Ashanti say that years ago. He said, everybody makes mistakes. And I had a little angst right here when he said it. Because what I thought, what I hoped for, was that I could become enlightened and not make mistakes anymore. But do you know why I wanted that? It was because I thought mistakes equal bad. And because I had mistakes and bad as being synonymous in my mind, what I really wanted to do was not be bad anymore. And the funny thing is, I never was bad, nor is anyone else when they make a mistake. They just made a mistake. In fact, let me see if I can find something else. Let me see. Scott Kalickstein, mistake. Let's see if we have this here. Okay. He has the children's version, not the adult version. But you guys probably, you know, like the children's version. So let me share my screen again. I like both versions. Let's look at Scott Kalickstein. We'll listen to the children's version of this song.
Okay, gang, let's get it right this time. Oops, take 300.
Ooh, wow, oops.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Ooh, wow, oops.
You made a mistake.
Ooh, wow,
have you ever made a mistake in your life?
You made a mistake.
Can you remember making that mistake and then getting really down on yourself? Like saying, boy, that was dumb of me. Well, I have some good news and some great news. The good news is that everybody makes mistakes. The great news is that that's how we learn to do it better next time. So the next time you make a mistake, and if I know us human beings, that won't be too far away from now. Remember the words of this little song. It goes like this. Well, you were riding your bike at the speed of light to impress the new kids that you met. But you didn't see the rock till your bike couldn't stop and your head and the pavement met.
Ouch!
The streets and the stones didn't damage your bones, but the names that they called you ached. I got news for you, we've all made them too. Oops, you made a mistake.
Oops, you made a mistake.
And you're beautiful,
yes, you're beautiful. Oops, you made a mistake.
And you're beautiful to me. You're beautiful to me. Well, you were tired of school, all the work and the rules, so you tried playing sick in your house. Your mom came on in with that thermometer grin and said, try to keep this in your mouth. She went out for a bit, so you took it out quick and you gave it a hard lucky shake.
102, here we come.
But your mom caught your act and said, put that thing back. Oops, you made a mistake.
Oops, you made a mistake.
And you're beautiful,
yes, you're beautiful. Oops, you made a mistake.
And you're beautiful to me. You're beautiful to me. Well, you stayed up to cram for the big exam, the one you needed to ace. You knew you would pass at the top of your class. It was written all over your face. You had chapter 9 down and you started to frown, 'cause you saw it was on chapter 8.
Oh, no.
Well, what else could be done but smile and have fun? Oops, you made a mistake, everybody.
Oops, you made a mistake.
And you're beautiful,
yes,
beautiful.
Oops, you made a mistake.
And you're beautiful to me. You're beautiful to me. Oh, okay, kids, we're gonna do something together now. Think of a mistake that you've made in your life recently. Something that you've been getting down on yourself and criticizing yourself for. Now hold that mistake in the palm of your hand as if you can see it and feel it in front of you. Some of you might need two hands. Okay, now we're gonna sing together. Oops, I made a mistake and I'm beautiful. Here we go.
Oops, I made a mistake. And I'm beautiful, yes, I'm beautiful. Oops, I made a mistake. And I'm beautiful to me.
I am
beautiful to me.
I am
I'm beautiful to me.
You made a mistake.
Now wait a second. There should have been an ending over there. This song should be over by now.
You made a mistake.
I know I'm beautiful, and you're beautiful too, but let's end the song. We can't let it go on like this.
You made a mistake.
We've got to end the song.
You made a mistake.
Maybe. How about right here? Okay, how about right here? This is a good place. Please, somebody end the song. Somebody press the button. I know I'm
Yeah, so, and the adult version just has more adult-like stories instead of riding your bike and stuff, but it's basically the same song. But, you know, the real problem is that we think mistakes mean I'm bad, right? And so we try to lie to ourselves and say we don't make mistakes, and then, of course, we're in for a fall because everybody makes mistakes. And mistakes don't mean that we're bad. It means... maybe we weren't paying enough attention that day. Maybe we misunderstood something. Maybe we have something to learn, but it doesn't mean we're bad. You see, that's the mistake that we make, is thinking the two are synonymous. So going back to the Tao Te Ching, wealth and position bring arrogance and leave disasters upon oneself. Which again, the way Wayne Dyer interprets that is, puff yourself with honor and pride, and no one can save you from a fall. So we need to be, like I said, to me, two words are coming and they mean the same thing. Humble and honest, right? They're synonymous. Humble and honest. Honest, everybody makes mistakes. You know, what's also honest, and I said this the other day during Gloria's teaching, is, you know what, everything is actually perfect how it happens. You know, again, it doesn't mean we don't learn from it, and it doesn't mean we don't do it differently, but it's perfect that it happened that way, right? It brought us to where we are now. So, moving on, when achievement is completed, fame is attained. Withdraw oneself. This is the Tao of Heaven. Let's go ahead and look at Wayne Dyer on this one. Oh, he says, retire when the work is done. This is the way to heaven. I'll tell you how this is really coming to me. There's another place in the Tao, at least in Stephen Mitchell's version of the Tao, where basically it says something like, the master does her job and then forgets about it. When Derek Lynn says wealth and possession, When Derek Lynn says, when achievement is completed, fame is attained, I think what he's really talking about is in our own minds. So, look at this beautiful retreat house that I created, forgetting all about the people that helped me with it. Look at this beautiful retreat house that I created. You know, I mean, I had this vision in Santa Barbara that day. I, hear all the I in that, I started a fundraising campaign. I kept this in front of everybody. I found the house. I see that the fame is in my own mind. Right? So what I think this is really saying is, you know, complete a job and then just forget about it. You know, don't carry it around as some kind of an ego identity, right? I did this. That's what I'm really getting out of this. And again, if you complete a job and then just forget about it, and you're not getting ego identity from the job, a couple things are going to happen. One, you're going to be in that more humble space, obviously, but you're not going to need another ego fix. You're not going to need to take on another big project just to prove to everybody how great you are once again. Again, as we saw earlier in this particular verse, pounding a blade and sharpening it cannot be kept for long. If I just go from the retreat house, and of course, I actually feel like, in spite of any activity that this body may have been involved in, I genuinely feel like I had nothing to do with this. Like it was God's job. It was God's miracle, right? It happened through God. Even though there were bodies here that were very busy doing a lot of work, and there were bodies that donated money, I feel like it was God's vision, and God did the work, and here we are. Like I had nothing to do with it. But if I thought that this achievement of this retreat house made me that really great president minister, well then just like all the stuff that I buy in my house that eventually you don't really notice it anymore, it just has to be taken care of, the retreat house would fade in the same way. At some point, this retreat house is going to become more routine. It's going to be more just a part of who Awakening Together is and what we are. And even though we may still appreciate it or something, it's not going to give me that big accomplishment fix anymore. So I'm going to have to think up something bigger and better, right? I mean, that's how this works. Yeah, Cheryl says she's good. So what is the lesson in today's Tao Te Ching? You know, if I was just going to sum it up simply, I would say, first of all, it is knowing what the difference between what's important and what's not important. Making sure you make time for the things that are important. Putting those things first. Don't let the unimportant things crowd the important things out of your life. And don't be attached to your accomplishments. Because if you become attached to your accomplishments, again, that's going to become an addictive cycle. And you know, I spend time in my bedroom. You know, I got up at 5 this morning. The first thing I did was just go peek at the form. I want to make that a new habit of mine. I want to peek at the form while I'm, you know, waking up. That will be what I wake up to, is looking to see what you all have posted. That will just get my brain awake, right? The second thing I did was my contemplation, my 7 steps contemplation. I'm over there in step 4, almost done with step 4, so that's where I went. And then the next thing I did was my meditation, which this morning was 1.5 hours. By the time I got done with all of that, it was 9 a.m. So from 5 to 9, 4 hours went by like that, you know. So as you can see, getting up to 3 hours of meditation, 1.5 hours, it's going to be interesting. But if I had slept till 7 or 7:30, if I had stayed up last night watching TV, I went to bed at 9:11 last night, and I even said, Mom, I'm late. It's 9:11. I got to go to bed. And we weren't actually watching TV. We were just chatting. But if I'd stay up chatting till 10:30 with my mom because we were having fun, and then I slept till 7:30 this morning, I wouldn't have had time for all of that, right? Something would have got squeezed out. And so that's what we really need to pay attention to. What are our big rocks? And are we literally arranging our life? In my case, going to bed at 9 p.m. so I can get up at 5 a.m. every day. Right? That's a decision I make. Are we arranging our life so that the big rocks are getting put in first. That's what I think is really important today. And do we know what the big rocks are? That's another good question. Do we know what the big rocks are? Because if we think the big rock is trying to impress everybody else with how good I am, we're mistaken. So question number one, what really are my big rocks? And then question number two, am I arranging my life so that my big rocks get taken care of first? Let's go ahead and just look at Stephen Mitchell again. We've been kind of ignoring him. Fill your bowl to the brim and it will spill. Keep sharpening your knife and it will blunt. Chase after money and security and your heart will never unclench. Again, because as we mentioned, you'll have a big achievement, but then it will kind of, you know, not give you that ego boost anymore, and you have to go do another success, and you have to go get another success. So your heart will never unclench because you have to keep proving yourself or proving your image of yourself to yourself, right? You have to keep proving your image of yourself to yourself. That's stressful. Chase after money and security, and your heart will never unclench. Care about people's approval, and you will be their prisoner. That's the line he threw in that nobody else had. That's all I had to say is people's approval is, it's not anything you have control over anyway. You know, you could do everything that you think you need to do to get someone's approval. And I guarantee you, they may sometimes approve, but then there are going to be times when they don't. That's their thing. That's their judgments, their expectations. That actually has nothing to do with you. Your job is to be genuine within yourself, right? That's your job. Let other people's opinions of you, you know, Byron Katie would say, your opinion of me is none of my business. And I agree with her 100%. Your opinion of me is none of my business. That's your thing, right? My job is to be genuine within myself. Care about people's approval and you will be their prisoner. Do your work, then step back. The only path to serenity. Do your work, then step back. Or like I said, he says somewhere else in his version of the Tao Te Ching that the master does her job and then forgets about it. There's no ego boost coming out of whatever may appear to be accomplished through me. And the truth is I didn't do it anyway. I mean, that is the truth. Right? As Mother Teresa would say, I am just a pencil in the hand of God. So I'm going to release the mic, and Dawn, in just a moment, I'll type a title in for you, okay? Thank you, everyone. Hope you had fun today. Bye.